This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:49 a.m. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Keith Kam. In half an hour, well, actually in about 50 minutes, we do have the opening bell. We're also going to get market commentary from Song Seng-woon, CIMB private wealth management economist, on what's moving markets. But let's take a look at what we are discussing now.
Yeah, so the results of the UMNO party elections that were finalised on Sunday saw President Dato' Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi cementing his grip on the party, with his loyalists sweeping most of the top posts, including two out of three vice president posts. The top two posts were uncontested, of course, with Zahid Hamidi and Deputy President Dato' Mohamad Hassan retained as the party leaders.
Despite only having 26 seats in parliament, its lowest in history, UMNO remains a major kingmaker in Malaysian politics after throwing support behind Pakatan Harapan Chairman Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, allowing him to gain a parliamentary majority and hence become prime minister. Can the wins ensure the strength of the unity government and provide Zahid greater stability to lead UMNO as well as the Barisan National Coalition? And how will these results impact seat negotiations for the upcoming state elections? For some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Ibrahim Sufian, Program Director at the Merdeka Center. Good morning, Ben. Thanks, as always, for speaking to us. So if we take a look at the UMNO elections, Ahmad Zahid Hamidi's supporters seemingly triumphed. Is this an affirmation that the grassroots are happy with Zahid, or is this more because they prefer stability that the current unity government provides?
Well, thanks for having me on. I think the UMNO election results does indicate that within the party itself, the pre-existing power bases belonging to Zahid Hamidi, to a certain extent Najib Razak, still remains a formidable force within the party. So I think what we are seeing there is primarily the strength of the incumbents in ensuring that their favoured candidates continue to carry the day in the party contest. And so despite the factionalism that has riven UMNO leading up to and after the 15th general election, the leadership of the party's hold on the power and controls over the mindsets of many of its delegates, the voting delegates, remain very, very strong. Whether or not it is a reflective of happiness with the leadership or happiness with the trajectory and direction of the party, I think that's a separate matter. But I think this is the fait accompli that has been delivered by party members at the grassroots level. And it also shows the extent to which the control and influence and also support that pre-exists within incumbent leadership that goes all the way down at the district levels throughout the country.
Ben, one would argue that the expulsions and the suspensions of certain party leaders would indicate that the party support for Zahid and Tomat isn't really indicative of what the party's grassroots are feeling. Is that the sense that you are getting as well?
Yeah, I think it's a mixed view, because number one, these are all party members. And so the party members are definitely split up within the different factions inside the party. And with the removal or the suspension of some key personalities in the party, those individuals who were perceived to be rivals of the current leadership of the party. So I think their own grassroots supporters no longer have a rallying point from which they are to coalesce and then, present a challenge to the incumbent president or the other leaders of the party. So that's one element. The other element is the very expensive nature of party elections, not just within UMNO, but generally most parties that are mass-based. And so for those who have been dismissed or already decided to stand down, I think there's a big question mark on whether or not they're going to invest resources to mobilize and canvas support for their own, delegates at the local level. So I think there's only a limited extent to which leaders who are dismissed or suspended is going to expend capital to rally up people in their support. So I think there is a likelihood that large parts of the membership are willing to go along with and see where this leads them to. But I think a number are also deciding that they are not going to present a challenge right now and wait it out as well until the current party term expires, perhaps in 3 years' time.
Ben, can we take a look at the winners of the current elections? What are the names that have stood out to you, particularly in terms of the Supreme Council members that are in place now?
Yeah, I think, you know, I have not gone into details, but I think generally the feeling that we get is a lot of people who are closely associated with or supported by the incumbent leadership, the presidency, have actually done relatively well. I think one area of surprise is that I thought that Azalina would be able to get at least the vice president's post, but, you know, unfortunately, she wasn't able to. Mm. Those are the surprises. But I think in terms of lineups, I think quite a large number of them are also first-time fresh faces, and that I think that is a promising sign for UMNO moving forward. And so I think the hope is that some of the new individuals that are now coming into the forefront of the leadership will, you know, present themselves and be able to articulate the issues that are worrying the public and also reconnecting with their grassroots in a meaningful way so that they can be a constructive partner in government for the present term.
Would the scenario have been any different if the top two leadership posts were contested at all?
I think it would be, because I think with top posts being contested, if it had been contested, then you are going to see a stronger contest even happening all the way down to the grassroots and the central committee. So that such a party election would be pretty divisive for UMNO, like any other party. I mean, we've seen a similar iteration of this in 2018 when PKR went through their party election, and there was a contest for the deputy presidency and all the way down, and that contest, you know, was fraught with conflict and in the end basically split up the party. And I think, you know, as unpopular and undemocratic as it was, I think the decision to not let the top two positions be contested at least allows for some time and stability to settle within UMNO. Mm. And that the membership and rank and file will have to work within the confines of the party to address. And if the party leadership is not able to rehabilitate the party and its image that it presents to the Malaysian public, then, you know, it will be punished again in the next election.
That does bring me to the reform agenda of UMNO, Ben, because I am curious about whether the current crop of leaders, do you think that they have rehabilitation and reform on their minds, or is it going to be more status quo?
You know, I think, you know, when we talk about reforms of political parties, you know, ultimately political parties are the embodiment of the personalities that lead them. I think top leaders definitely have an oversized influence over how the general public and its own members perceive the party. I think for UMNO right now, they are led by an individual that has, you know, numerous court cases, and public opinion towards him is, you know, fairly negative. So that's the dark cloud that continues to hang over UMNO. So I think no amount of changes in the party grassroots leadership or even central committee is going to change so long as the face of the party remains or perceived to be tainted. So I think UMNO is going to be burdened with that baggage or that perception moving forward. But I think in the coming years, you know, maybe in the next couple of years to come, depending on how things develop, if, let's say, the president is able to clean up his name through the legal system and then he's vindicated, then I think the image of UMNO overall will be improved as well. So, you know, simplistically speaking, the rehabilitation of the party is closely tied to the personalities that embody and present the face of the party to the public. And so long as the leaders are unable to clear their names, then the party will continue to be having a fairly negative image associated with it.
Hmm. Ben, Perikatan Nasional has been going on this ethno-religious narrative attack on UMNO and indeed Pakatan Harapan. I was just wondering if I could just get your thoughts on the impact it might have on UMNO's own championing of race and religion going into the upcoming state elections.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting situation, because for the longest time, I mean, Malaysians have always been used UMNO being the champion of the Malays. And so UMNO's role in Malaysian politics is to provide a big umbrella as part of Barisan Nasional, where, you know, parties of representing different races sit together and compromise and somehow lead government. And UMNO's role there is to provide a sense of order that the Malay political, socio-political interest is protected through UMNO's representation in government. That's no longer the case now. And now I think the leading party is Perikatan Nasional, specifically PAS. And so UMNO's position to be the dominant Malay party has been challenged. And we can see from the general election results, majority of Malays actually voted for Perikatan Nasional. And so UMNO has to try and win back that crown, take it away from PAS. The problem is that, you know, it's the third largest party, no longer even second in the political system right now. And so I think for moving forward, UMNO really has to find its role. And it needs to find its role in terms of championing Malay issues, but has to do it in a very calibrated way so that it doesn't destabilize the government. Because if it seems to be destabilizing government, voters out there, even Malay voters, are going to penalize it again. And so it has to tread a very fine line.
All right, Ben, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Ben Sufian, Program Director at the Merdeka Center, commenting on the UMNO party polls. We're heading into the 9 a.m. news bulletin, and then after that, the opening bell. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.